Hello. Okay, start. Whenever I start talking about the order of the Mother of God, people naturally want to know why a Carmelite nun would leave the cloister to promote the rule of Mary. It began with a locution in Holy Week of 2011. I told the story hundreds of times, and I finally decided to record it in two versions. This is the short version. If you want the details, click on the expanded version. I'm sitting at my computer reading the text from the monitor with a bedsheet for a homemade green screen as a backdrop, and I don't know how to control the lighting and the glare in my glasses, so please forgive that. And I'm going to put on the backdrop the La Salette Shrine in the Alps, the French Alps, and two shields, the one of the Order of Carmel and a proposed shield of the Order of Mother of God. In 1979, I entered a Discalced Carmel at the age of 19. I heard the call to religious life, not through any vision or locution, but through the ordinary path of prayer and discernment. I recorded an account of my vocation to Carmel in a separate podcast. Jumping ahead, I'm now 51 years old and in my 33rd year of cloistered life. It's Tuesday of Holy Week, April 19, 2011. We had permission for extra prayer during the day if we could spare the time from our work duties. I like to pray in a little oratory on the second floor. It overlooks the sanctuary and the tabernacle. It was probably about 9:30 when I began to pray, because for some reason my memory associates the second call with 10 a.m. This call was a locution, a vocalized vocare, received within my religious vocation. Mother Teresa of Calcutta refers to it as a call within a call. She heard a call to found a new community when she was a Loreto sister riding on a train. St. Peter Julian Aimard received a call to lead the Society of Mary and found a new congregation to promote devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. Most of the congregations in the church have been started by men and women who already had years of experience in some other congregation. I'm giving these examples to show that my locution was not really that extraordinary. So there I was in the oratory when my prayer was suddenly interrupted by strong ideas. Very forcefully, there was a kind of announcement in my mind that Christians would soon undergo a powerful persecution. Well, that was hardly news. Our Lady had been saying as much for years in her apparitions, but the thought was a definite interruption. I had been thinking on Jesus' passion, and now I was presented with the passion of his mystical body. Then a very new thought entered my mind. I perceived that I was being asked, gently but forcefully, to leave the cloister to accompany Christians, especially the laity. I was supposed to encourage them and strengthen their faith. While I was trying to process that amazing, albeit nonverbal, invitation, I distinctly heard six words, "and promote the rule of Mary." I instantly asked, "But what is the rule of Mary?" La Salette. That was the whole thing. From that moment onward, I've been on a journey to figure out how to implement that call. My first duty was to discern the origin of this locution. From my novitiate, I had been steeped in the teachings of the great mystical doctors of Carmel. St. John of the Cross had a very low opinion of private revelations. He affirmed that we can never, never know that their origin, for certain, as long as we live, even if some sign is given. Signs are rarely definitive. Some prediction that comes true might be a mere coincidence, a lucky guess, or some circumstance that a demonic intelligence could surmise. Excuse me. It would never be possible for me to prove my spiritual experience to you who are listening, or to any human person of any rank in the church. Anyway, it would be irrelevant to church authorities. A tree is judged by its fruits. Vocations are not discerned by proving that someone has seen an angel in a bedroom, but by demonstrating that the person has the grace and the determination to live the call. I knew I didn't call myself. I absolutely did not imagine that experience. That much was beyond doubt, because it had been too abrupt. My thoughts had not evolved during meditation. My thoughts had been interrupted. Nor could those ideas have emerged from a subconscious discontent with my present vocation. Of course, no religious community is perfect, and nor was I. Nuns are not saints, but only saints in the making, just like marriage. Challenges in religious life and married life are part of the package of challenges in religious life and married life are part of the sacrifice. In the cloister, a petty disagreement can feel like a tempest in a teapot. I had embraced such crosses as part of the package deal. Since this location did not originate in my mind, it came from God or it came from Satan. Just because my experience didn't feel diabolical or disturbing, that was no reason to set aside prudence. St. Teresa of Avila had many extraordinary revelations, but she remained cautious until the end of her life. St. Paul warned that even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It was my duty to determine if I had been deceived by a demon, and how delightful for Satan to trick a religious into leaving her community, to let her wander in the world, never settling down, bringing shame and scandal wherever she went, because she didn't persevere in what she had publicly promised. If it was Satan, why give him the satisfaction of publicity? I decided to say nothing to anyone, not even to my confessor or superior, until I read the text of this supposed rule of Mary. If Mary had given a rule during the approved apparition of La Salette, as the voice affirmed, then the text could be symbolic and apocalyptic, like the long central message in that apparition. In that case, it wouldn't be a real rule for a real religious community, but just one more aspect of Mary's admonition from heaven. On the other hand, it might be a real rule, but after reading the text, I might not feel any subsequent attraction or vocation to commit myself to that way of life any more than I felt a call to become a Franciscan or a missionary of charity. In either case, my experience in the oratory would be a trick of Satan to distract and disturb me. A new rule is a serious phenomenon. In novitiate, we studied six major rules, those of Saint. A new rule is a serious phenomenon. In novitiate, we'd studied the six major rules, those of Saints Albert, Basil, Augustine, Benedict, Francis, and Ignatius. Each rule was a gift from heaven at some critical epoch in church history. We had many books in the library and half a shelf on La Salette, but none contained the text of the Rule of Mary. Did an English translation even exist? We didn't have internet in the cloister, but because of my layout work for some monks, I had special permission to request information from the web through several of the convent benefactors. I explain in my longer account why I understood that it wasn't urgent that I leave Carmel right away. There were some projects I had to complete. Taking advantage of my work permission, every few weeks I would give a note to a benefactor asking for the digital translations of the major rules. They would search the internet and bring me various digital editions of all the rules except the Rule of Mary. By Lent of 2012, I had reached the end of my short list of outside internet helpers. My only recourse was to turn to heaven for help. St. Joseph's feast on March 19th was approaching. At the beginning of his novena, I told St. Joseph that since he was the husband of Mary, her order would be his responsibility. If I had been deceived in my spiritual experience, may he please make that clear, and I would put it behind me. But if God really wanted me to promote the Rule of Mary, please get me that text. Laetare Sunday happened to fall on the eve of his feast. The Gregorian Mass was joyful and glorious. The nuns filed out afterward to remove their white mantles. There on my choir box was the Rule of Mary, printed in three languages, and a flash drive with the rule in six languages. A post-it note was attached. "Sister, we found this months ago, but we forgot to bring it to you until this morning." I nearly fainted with joy. Laetare. After breakfast, I ran upstairs to read it on my knees. It was a proper rule. There was nothing apocalyptic about it. The time had come to confide to my prioress the call within a call. She knew that I would never invent a spiritual experience. It was from God or Satan, and St. Joseph had tipped the scales in favor of a positive discernment. She declared that I had to go forth and fulfill this heavenly call. She soon contacted the Chancery to inquire about the proper process for exclaustration and eventual dispensation. It wasn't clear to me where I was supposed to go when I left Carmel, but I was confident that the Lord would show me the way. Our Carmel had a custom of drawing a patron saint for the coming month at evening recreation on the last night of each month. On the eve of All Saints, I drew the billet of Christ the King. I had been baptized on that feast. Surely that billet was a sign that I was about to start a new life. Jesus Christ the King would make things clear in November. A week or so later, the prioress came to me where I was working. She said, "You need to have a plan and get started with your mission." I had heard the distinct words to promote the rule. The rule was for an active congregation. I was obviously not qualified to found a new order. So my task was to find a diocesan, active, Marian congregation which was not attached to any rule. I would apply for entrance into that congregation, saying that I felt called to serve the laity. At some point later on, I would offer them the rule. I could not force the rule on anyone. I would abide by the decision of those superiors. The rest was in God's hand. However, I didn't know how to find that Marian congregation. The prioress had an idea. She knew Mother Claire, who had recently founded the Handmaids of the Heart of Jesus in the Diocese of New Ulm, Minnesota. Mother Claire was familiar with many congregations and would be able to advise us. The prioress left a voicemail. Then we waited many days. On Sunday, November 25th, 2012, Feast of Christ the King and St. Catherine of Alexandria, my baptismal namesake, Mother Claire returned the phone call. She apologized for the delay. She had been out of town on a retreat with her novices. Mother Claire suggested that I apply to the Sisters of the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity. The prioress and I were very surprised. Salt Fathers were often guests of the monks nearby, but we had never heard that there were sisters in that society. We grabbed a small directory from our library and looked up the community. A one-paragraph blurb. We grabbed a small directory from our library and looked up the community. A one-paragraph blurb described the charism: to walk with the laity, to emulate Mary, to meditate on the Holy Trinity. I was ecstatic. I ran off to the scriptorium where I worked on that very day of Christ the King to compose my letter of application to their sister servant director of novices. Since this is the short version, I will simply state that 6 months later, I entered this lovely community and was trained in the active life in 5 convents. It took them nearly 2 years to discern that the rule of Mary was not for them. They were very attracted to it, but didn't feel called to adjust their constitutions to the full charism. To my intense shock, the Superior General told me that I must leave and found the order of the Mother of God myself. She promised excellent references and to help me in any way she could. To prove it, she offered a generous donation from their limited funds. I called my Carmelite prioress to tell her that I had to leave the society. My prioress affirmed that I must go forward and follow the Spirit. It would be wrong for me to return to the cloistered vocation when the call was so clear. But what could I do now but call my widowed mother? She had a guest room and told me to come back home to Wichita, Kansas. From Wichita, I would be invited to France. I visited La Salette and obtained a more accurate translation of the rule. Upon returning to Kansas, I'd been a guest in a series of homes, giving talks, working with the laity, managing an ever-expanding website and YouTube channel, while consulting clergy and bishops. While I was 58 years old, I told everyone that Mother Angelica launched her satellite at the age of 58, and Carol Wojtyla became Pope John Paul II at the age of 58. But a few weeks ago, I turned 59. Now I tell people that Mary should have chosen someone younger, smarter, and better looking. If I manage to launch this order, it will be evident that it is her work, not mine. I am only her instrument. Thank you for listening. Please pray for her will to be accomplished. Okay.